Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend John, engineering and producing our program together. A hearty welcome to the Buckmaster Show, off and running with a new week. It is Monday, September the 18th, 2023. I hope this will be the last 100 degree. Maybe that's wishful thinking, but man, I've had it with the 100 plus temperatures, ready for cooler weather. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. They have the naming rights to our studio, and I'm glad they do. We're part of the Bustos Media campus here. We have five radio stations under one roof. We are 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And when we do our telephone interviews, or if you would like to join on the live line, 790-2040, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Moe and his lovely family specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. That means after you have your picture framed, Moe will come out to your home and make sure it is up on the wall the way you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowland Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and at moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one interview is with Rafael Barcelo de Rosso, the Mexican consul in Tucson. Consul Barcelo de Rosso assumed the consul position in Tucson in August 2020. So he's just completed 3 full years in that position. He was raised in a small mountain village about 150 miles south of the U.S. border at Douglas. He has been a career diplomat since 2010. He has had roles at the headquarters of the Mexican Foreign Ministry in the Federal District of Mexico City, and before that, working with Mexican embassies in Brazil, and in San Jose, Costa Rica. And he's also worked in Mexico's Justice Supreme Court. Mr. Consul, welcome back to the show.
Dear Bill, I'm very happy to be here. I really appreciate the invitation, and I'm so happy to get to talk with your audience about, my beloved country, Mexico, and also the wonderful relationship we have with Southern Arizona, and allow me to extend also my sympathies in the celebration of the life of Anne, that and also for having me this opportunity to talk to you in this moment.
Thank you very much. And as I often say, during this past very difficult month, one of the few normal things in my life is being here on the radio, which is kind of my happy, safe place right now. And so I look forward to now our conversation. The population in Pima County of people who have Hispanic heritage has now grown to actually 4 out of 10 residents. Does that make your job easier in some ways and difficult in others?
Totally, that is correct. It works both ways. I would say it's much more easier because the interest in Mexico and Latin American countries, it is a given. You don't have to explain to anyone the significance, the importance that Mexico has for this region. Also, the amount of synergies, of alliances with organizations, with local authorities is fantastic in Tucson and Pima County. And it makes it a little bit harder in the sense that I have more users, so to speak, of the consular services. But it is actually my pleasure. It also, as you were mentioning, for the people that have a career that is a happy place for us, not a single day to be bored.
Tell me a little bit about Hispanic Heritage Month. It's a very There's been speaking of synergy, just this past weekend, you had a very busy weekend.
Oh, yes. we had a wonderful weekend. But also the whole month, the National Hispanic Heritage Month starts with September 15th, but mm-hmm. goes up until October 15th. So it is a month in the U.S. where this country celebrates the Hispanic heritage. It is very important to know that in what is now the U.S., the first European language that was spoken was not English, but Spanish. Mm-hmm. So the population of people from Hispanic origin has been part since the beginning of this country, and particularly in the area where we are, is fantastic to know how diverse, how rich that heritage is. Of course, I am Mexican, and I can talk about the Mexican and Mexican Americans that live in the Pima County, Pinal County, and Southern Arizona in general, but also the Puerto Ricans, the Cubans, people from the Central American countries, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica. There's so many people that came from these countries that have contributed for making this country more diverse. Spanish is the second most spoken language in the world as a native language.
I didn't realize that. It is number two.
It is number two after Mandarin, Chinese.
Mandarin, right, yes.
There are more people that speak English, but as a second language.
Yes.
If you add the people that speak English as a second language, of course, it is the most spoken language, but mm-hmm. as a mother language, so to speak, Spanish is the second one. And Mexico, it is a country with more Spanish-speaking people, and the second one is the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So there are more people that speak Spanish in the U.S. than in Spain, in Colombia or in Argentina, which are also very important and populated countries. So celebrating this is, I think, of the utmost importance, because our communities are enriched by that. And we had this Friday, September 15th, we had a beautiful event with the Tucson Symphony Orchestra.
At the Music Hall
with the conduction of Maestro José Luis Gómez himself. Mm-hmm. He's from Spain, mm-hmm. from Venezuelan origin, so he's also Hispanic in mm-hmm. this community. We had a beautiful music from not only from Mexico, but also from Spain and other Latin American countries. And also, we had the Mariachi Aztlan from Pueblo High School. Let me tell you, Bill, that in Mexico, it's going to be very hard to find a mariachi band that will sing with the quality that people from the students from Pueblo High School interpret our beautiful songs. So I'm so much proud of the culture that in Tucson exists regarding the mariachis, because you found them in so many elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools, and they really have a beautiful quality. I think it's wonderful for three things. First, these students are learning discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to play an instrument, it requires a lot of discipline. Second one, work as a team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important, because it's not only, you're not a soloist in a mariachi. You really have to come together with a group. And it's, I think it's very formative for people, from students, get away of their video games and do a group activity like that. And third one, celebrating your own identity, because as you mentioned, 40% of the population in Pima County or in Tucson area are from Hispanic origin. Particularly 90% of them are from Mexican American origins, and that's fantastic that they have a way, they find a beautiful way through music to celebrate their own heritage, their own identity. And it's wonderful that they present us with the gift of their music. So that, it was amazing.
So you would be hard pressed to find even south of the border in your country of Mexico a better sounding mariachi group quality-wise.
I am not exaggerating when I say that. So congratulations, Tucson, because you have here one of the best mariachi bands in considering Mexico.
All right, we're going to take a break right here and talk about my favorite bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's has a beautiful variety, a wide variety of European-style breads and pastries. They are open for breakfast and lunch. They do take Monday off, well-deserved, after a very busy weekend. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Check it out, Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It is our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We will continue with our Monday one-on-one guest, who is Rafael Barcelo Durazo, the Mexican consul here in Tucson. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Our one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Our Monday one-on-one guest, Rafael Barcelo Durazo, who is the head of the Mexican consul here in Tucson. The consul in Tucson is one of now 52 consuls that are here in the United States. And I know the embassy, your home embassy in Washington, has really put out the word, we're very, very worried about this fentanyl crisis.
That's correct, Bill. We have 52 consulates in the U.S. There is no country in the world that has so many consulates in another country.
Wow.
And I think that talks about how important and how ingrained our bilateral relationship it is. We are celebrating 200 years of diplomatic bilateral relationships in Mexico and the U.S. in this year. And yes, one of these topics, it is drugs, particularly the rise of fentanyl consumption. I think from the U.S., it's normally talked about the fighting traffic. But for Mexico, it is very important to that the U.S. authorities and society commit in fighting consumption, because traffic will happen naturally if there is consumption. And the increase
in... If there's a market and the consumption, yeah.
That's correct.
It's fentanyl's coming in if there's a market for it.
And yeah.
Cheap and it's deadly.
It is deadly. It has caused a lot of deaths in the U.S. from people who accidentally overdose about mm-hmm. it. But it has caused so many deaths in Mexico because it created a spiral of violence in the distribution of this drug. So it is a very concerning matter for Mexico that we work together. We are not two separate countries that can decide all of our matters independently. Mm-hmm. Every single topic, the trade, economy,
immigration,
yeah. Those are international by nature phenomenon. So in the case of fentanyl, it is very important for Mexico. We are committed in fighting against traffic and the organized crime that has been benefiting from it. But it is also very important for us that the law enforcement happens in the U.S. and the society commits in decreasing the consumption, because that's causing severe problems in both countries, and it has hurt deeply our communities in both sides of the border.
There's a lot of misinformation when it comes to migration or immigration. We're seeing now these street releases, and people are just assuming these are Mexicans who are coming into the United States. Not true.
That's correct. That is not true. There are some Mexicans mm-hmm. coming and being asylum seekers, but actually most of them come from different countries. First, it was very traditional for this area to have migration from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. But now we have a lot of migrants or asylum seekers from Venezuela, Haiti, Cuba, and Colombia, Peru,
West
Ecuador.
Africa.
And exactly, yes. Not only from the Americas, but also from West Africa, mm-hmm. India, sometimes even Chinese citizens mm-hmm. are migrating through this area. So it is important for the people to know that the U.S.-Mexico border is a very complex area, but at the same time, it creates different situations both sides of the border, not only this side of the border. These asylum seekers and migrants were in Mexico for months or years. So it is not an exclusive concern for U.S. people. It is also a concern for Mexico too, and also from people in the origin communities that are losing population for safety or the economy or climate change. There are so many reasons that are expelling people from their original communities, and it is important for us, Mexico and the U.S., to work together to try to manage. Migration has been going on since humankind started. That's nothing that is new to our generation. On the opposite, perhaps even the numbers right now as a percentage of the world population is not as big as they were in other times, but they are bigger and particularly challenging for some community, particularly small communities on the border. So it is extremely important, like, try to have discussions about migration that are not so emotional. In both sides of the equation, being pro or anti is in such a complicated human problem, it is misinforming us that want to be informed because we are getting some sources that are politically biased sometimes. And the thing is, like, organizations, local authorities, or the consulates are working with these people, and it is important for the whole of the society to approach this topic from a more wholesome point of view, and never forgetting that we're talking about humans, not merchandising, not product, not goods or services, but actually humans.
The reality is we do have a labor shortage in the United States. Mexico is going to have a labor shortage as well. The population of the two countries down the road here, we're looking at zero growth.
You're totally on the spot on this, Bill. Mexico had a what they call a demographic bonus. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of young people that were able to sustain through their work the children and the old people that needed to be helped. But that demographic bonus has basically ended now. And the economy to expand need more people to work on that. And that is the case in the United States. Whenever you talk to a business person here, mm-hmm. I'm amazed. Because when you ask, what's your main concern? Mm-hmm. And you think they're going to say inflation or it's not selling enough.
It's labor
shortage. And migration is one of the solutions to that. So it needs to be human and regular migration. So to offer regular paths for these workers that the U.S. economy so desperately needs to keep growing and to keep bringing welfare to this wonderful country, I think it is important to, again, have this debate from a more informed, less passionate, or less team-like discussion. It's like, I am this team or that team. That doesn't work that way. But exactly, you are on the spot in the sense that even Mexico is actually require more workers to come to the country because our economy is also expanding and we need more workers to actually contribute to this economic growth.
Talk a little bit about your own background. Did you ever think, you grew up in this really little town, little village, I think it was less than 1,000 people, right, in the village?
That's correct. And the name of the village is Wasavas, and it's 900 people.
900 people.
Yes, and I'm now a diplomat, and I'm the first diplomat that comes from Wasavas. And it's interesting because since I was a little kid, I was like very interested in what's going on in the world.
Did you have a world map and you looked at all the different countries and learned the capitals of all the countries?
Totally. And I did this spinning of it and putting the finger and I said, I want to go there.
I did that too.
I didn't
wind up a diplomat, but I wound up traveling to over 100 countries. So
that is fantastic.
I've had that love of travel and it's some kind of a wanderlust that I guess we as kids sometimes have. So you wound up being able to really see some of the world.
That is correct. And I think what you talked about is this curiosity to know the rest mm-hmm. of the world. It's such a beautiful world that we have, and it's so rich and diverse. And for me, I find it as a privilege to be able to have this career, diplomatic career, which allows me to go to different places and get to understand the people in that space, because that is my main work. Not get there and talk about my country, but actually learn from their country and find the ways, the bridges that bring together our societies that need a deep understanding of the country or the city or the state you are posted in it. And yes, growing up in a very little town, my father was a cattle raiser, a cowboy, a ganadero. And it was, I think, kind of a call that I felt that to get to know the world and also serve my country, and why not to serve the community in which I live. And right now I'm so happy that that community is Tucson, because it is a community that I love. Right now I totally felt in love with Tucson and the diversity and the resilience that people from this beautiful desert has taken as a, I would say, definitory characteristic of our existence here as a community.
Your dad was a cowboy?
He was, yes.
Wow.
He still is, and he's 74 year old now, and sometimes he sends a pig riding a horse, and we are very, we get concerned about it, but it's, you know, when you love something so much,
sure.
and that's what happens with cowboys, with cowgirls. We have this living culture of the of ganaderos, vaqueros in Sonora state, particularly in other northern states, that it's very similar to what the Southwest in the U.S. had. But I would say that I find it that is more, much more alive still in Mexico.
The tradition
and
is much
traditions,
more alive.
Exactly. They kept doing the same things and taming this desert to be able to produce wonderful meat and other agricultural products. That requires passion. If you don't have passion, I don't know how you could do that.
What would your final message be here now in the remaining minute, Mr. Council? What would you like to say to my listeners?
I would like to invite you to go to the visittucson.org /viva website, because there you will find a lineup of more than 50 events that will happen in Tucson to celebrate Hispanic heritage culture. And we're talking about arts, sports, food, history, so many different things going on in this beautiful city. So go there, support local events, because it takes a lot of work for local organizations to produce these events. And it is important for us that live here, or that we can invite people from outside to come and enjoy and celebrate, as I mentioned, this wonderful Hispanic heritage that, identifies, this beautiful part of the United States.
Mr. Consul, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Rafael Barcelo de Raso, the head of the Mexican Consul here in Tucson, our guest on the Monday One-on-One, presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge, and they have a beautiful website, been revamped, moesgallery.com, for more information. We'll be right back. General Ted Maxwell, the head of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, will be my guest next.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. This is the perfect time of year to go over to Green Things by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site. Beautiful things that are ready for your garden to really get the fall planting underway. I know I lost a lot of plants with those, as I like to say, two 1-in-100-year weather events in about 10 days in July. So with the hail and the wind, there's some upgrades that need to be done, not only in our garden, but I'm sure gardens all over the foothills area for sure. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com, their sister business. They are open every day. They've been in business 53 years. Our telephone live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Always like to welcome back to the show General Ted Maxwell. General Maxwell heads up the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, his official title, President/CEO, and he has had that title since 2018. 34, just almost 34 years of military service, including 15 years in active duty Air Force, an additional 19 in the Arizona Air National Guard. He is a graduate of the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. He retired at the rank of Major General in 2018. His final military duty station was right here in Southern Arizona, out at the airport, commander of the Arizona Air National Guard. In 2021, Governor Ducey appointed the general to represent Pima County on the 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board. And that's a huge responsibility in itself. He is also the ADOT representative on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA Board of Directors. So he is a very busy guy, and we always appreciate General Maxwell coming into the station. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill, and I want to start off by saying I was really sorry to hear about Ann. And
It's just such a devastating loss.
Now the article that was in
the Tucson Sentinel.
I appreciate that, because I don't know if I'd ever seen the two of you in that young in those pictures, and that was that was a long time ago. Shows how long of a good life you had together, and I definitely saw a different side of you.
That was our 5-year wedding anniversary in the Fiji Islands.
It was great.
That was a great trip, and actually at the funeral on October 14th, I think that is. In fact, I don't think that's going to be the signature picture on the service program. So, folks, if they come to the funeral, they'll see that picture again. Anyway, you've been really busy with the RTA, and I know that Farhad Mogimi put out the kind of official chronology, the timetable. This is something you had really been hoping for, and it now we know the target date, May 2025 for the RTA election. But a lot of pieces have to still fall in place.
Oh, absolutely. And the importance, like we talked about several items that I thought the board needed to give guidance going forward, because it's very difficult when, you know, the Citizens Advisory Committee is trying to put together a plan, and we have a moving target of kind of when we want to and when we expect to see a plan from them. And then you've got the Technical Management Committee, who also the experts on it start weighing in on that proposed plan. And without having established a date out in the future of when we were going to go to the ballot, it really didn't drive that earlier question, when do we need a plan by? And mm-hmm. now the plan's got them bringing up, we're hoping they'll bring a plan to us, well, we've asked them to, by the December board meeting. So we expect to see that happen. And that will allow us to get back out early once the board works through it, comes up with the final plan that's going forward, and it will be the draft plan, and it will then go to the citizens for their input.
You know, the listening sessions.
Exactly. Yeah. The listening sessions, and there's opportunities to provide feedback and what you like, what you don't like, what you think it's missing, what it's got too much of.
Could the plan change through these listening sessions?
It always does.
Okay.
So 20 years ago when the first RTA got approved, it was not the same plan that initially came out of the planning committee that went to the ballot. It was the one that after over 200 meetings in all the municipalities throughout Pima County, everybody that's going to be asked to vote on it had an opportunity, if they wanted to hear what was in the plan, to see it, to give their feedback and provide that. And then the board can adjust the plan as it's currently sits going forward to make the final plan that will then go to the County Board of Supervisors for reference to the ballot.
Because these people are going to be voting on it, and if they're happy with the final plan, they're going to vote yes. That's common sense.
That is the key. And, you know, it is the Citizens Advisory Committee is the ones that kind of build the plan. But the reality of that, and I was on that committee before Governor Ducey appointed me to the State Transportation Board, is that committee is made of people who are transportation advocates, either advocates for current flow and the roads and the ability to get from one side of Pima County to the other faster and therefore efficiently and effectively, you know, timing the lights together. Or in a lot of cases, folks who believe we've got enough roads, we need transit, we need to work that. So that's why you see a lot of the arguments they have are very difficult to get over, because people are already transportation wonks, is the way I talk about it. They're really,
and they are advocates for a particular form of transportation.
Absolutely. But once we have the plan and we go back out to the citizens, now we're going to be able to weigh what they really want. Not from any one segment. There will be meetings in all the major municipalities. There'll be meetings in unincorporated Pima County. Like I said, the last time it was over 200. Now there will probably be a group, and it may be part of the Citizens Advisory Committee, and maybe members who are not on the Citizens Advisory Committee, that will go out and help run these meetings. The PAG folks are responsible for coordinating, putting them together, making them available. But once we have a plan, PAG, and so Farhad and his staff have to be very careful, because they're not supposed to be in the advocacy side.
No, they are not.
That's up for the rest of us.
The PAG being Pima Association of Governments. So the RTA did deliver on this program. It's not expired yet, but it was over $1.4 billion in improvements and services. What kind of money are we talking about with this RTA next?
So we're anticipating getting more in the coming years. Now, what we've done differently this time, some 1.4 is what we've delivered on so far. We think we're going to end up with about 1.6 if the 20-year cycle was done. But that's still about $300 million short of what the original revenue forecast was. And that's created some challenge. As you know, there's four projects that are going to be done in the beginning of RTA next that are coming out of RTA 1 because of that shortfall. But this time we've gone to the Citizens Advisory Committee, and the board has told them to consider the pessimistic view. So the University of Arizona and some other economists have given us three different views: optimistic, you know, a baseline, and then pessimistic. And we've said this time, let's go forward with the pessimistic view. Now, what I'm hoping is we'll include a lot of the projects that have been vetted and are on the list of recommended projects. But we just recently, one of the other issues we were talking about was getting an accurate cost estimate for the current projects. And they've all come in much higher. And I could tell you that in the last 3 or 4 years with inflation and with the cost of doing business, labor challenges in rural parts of Arizona, mm-hmm. not to mention even, you know, parts throughout Pima County, it can be challenged to get it, and the costs have gone up significantly. Well, now that we have the new costs, that means fewer projects are going to fit inside that bucket. But because it's the pessimistic view, we believe there's less likelihood that there won't be enough money to complete everything that the voters are selecting. And what we're hoping is there'll be money brought in that will be able to fill some of those other projects that didn't make the final list but have effectively been vetted. I've asked Mr. Mogimi to take a look at seeing if we can have those on the ballot as well, although they'll be identified under the current estimates. but they'll be in front of the voters so they can see what projects, if the funds come in more on a baseline revenue receipts, we may be able to just go back and add those projects without having to go back to the voters and say, do you want them?
Because back burner projects that would go to the front burner if there is the funding.
Correct. That's my thoughts and my ideas with it. Because the other option is, if the revenue comes in, then it's up to the board to decide where they want to spend that money. And I think for the voters' sake, they'd rather know that if there's any extra money, here's some projects that we've already put in front of you. And we obviously have the other categoricals, the other funds that the funds are used for, and we can distribute it there as well. So it's, that's, there's still a lot more to do before we're ready to go to the ballot. But the most important thing is getting some plan in front of the voter, the citizens, so that they have the opportunity to weigh in. Because ultimately, the Citizens Advisory Committee can do what they want. The Technical Management Committee can do what they want. For that matter, the board can do what we want. But if you don't get 50 plus one, it doesn't happen.
That's right.
And I will tell you, just had a transportation board meeting last week, and it is important as ever to understand the importance and the role of regional funding into our future infrastructure needs.
There isn't much future for regional funding, right?
If we do it without regional funding,
that's
it becomes very
without,
dire.
Without, yeah.
Absolutely. Because
if folks may say, well, the state's going to bail us out.
And correct. And the state doesn't have any money to bail us out. The state is, looking at our five-year plan. You see us get to the point where in the last 2 years, there's no money for new infrastructure. It's only taking care of what we've got, and it's only keeping what we have at its current state. And if you get off on some of the highways, and it doesn't matter if they're Maine or if they're rural, you know, I've heard from some folks in Pima County that are upset about the bridge overpasses on I-10. All that stuff has to be spread out between the communities, because we can't fix them all at once. It just, the money just doesn't exist. We're lucky to touch the state roads with the state budget. Now, not RTNX, with the state budget, once every 20 years. And that barely keeps them where they are now. It doesn't let us get to where all of our roads are good.
So the Arizona Department of Transportation will not be riding in on a
no.
white horse to save us with our regional transportation needs.
Absolutely not. It just,
well, that's got to be a big selling point for this program.
It's important. I think you're going to hear it a lot right now up in Maricopa as they go back for their Prop 400 extension. They are going to the ballot with that in 2024. And it's important, because the reality of it is, if all the regional funding goes away, then all the excess dollars at the state budget, not federal now, the state budget for transportation will probably go to Maricopa. Because that's just how it works, and we have to be aware of that. Now, it's important for us that Maricopa passes theirs. It's important that we pass ours. And Pinal is probably going to go back to the ballot trying to get a regional transport. So they've got such huge growth in businesses going on up in Casa Grande in the Pinal County region. They, too, are in need for new and improved infrastructure.
All right, more with General Ted Maxwell. We'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Monday afternoon. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
You're listening to Bill Buckmaster. The Ramsey Show is coming up at 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Perfect time of year to do a road trip over to southwest New Mexico to Silver City and Grant County. Only about a three-hour drive. Check it out, southwestnewmexico.org, their website, to tempt you with some great recreation activities, a lot of them outdoors, and just a great place to kind of hang out in the autumn in the land of enchantment. southwestnewmexico.org. General Ted Maxwell is with us, and he is always a busy guy. He is Southern Arizona Leadership Council CEO and president, and of course he is the representative for the Arizona Department of Transportation here in Southern Arizona, and as such sits on the board for the Regional Transportation Authority. That's a 9-member board of the RTA, and we spent our first segment with the general talking about the RTA. But I know you also track what's going on with the legislature. Are we looking at 2024 as a potential big year for these ballot or measures that voters will have to decide on?
Based on all the referrals to the ballot that the legislature passed last year, or at least moved forward to the point of completion, it would look that way. Now, one of the things, there's probably about somewhere between 6 and 8 legislative bills that are either waiting to get the final signature on or go forward. And the referrals to the ballot don't have to go through the governor's office. That is, so there are some of them that were on issues that you may have seen the governor repeal, and they had backup referrals to the ballot so it could go to the voters in 2024. But the challenge is, with that many things on the ballot, there's limited funds to run campaigns for and against. So the Senate and the House leadership will probably make the decision during next year's session on which ones will actually appear on the ballot. Now, there's going to be some more that may come forward and they may be pushed, but different legislators have had different ideas on how full a ballot should be. And you already know the presidential candidacy is going to be on the ballot. And, you know, in the state of Arizona, we have a senator's race on the ballot. It's going to be a crazy year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be expensive to support or get out there and advertise or run campaigns. So I would bet they're going to be a little they're going to think about what they're putting forward, and they're going to put forward the ones that they think that can get through with maybe less advertising or an explanation necessary. But there's also, we don't forget that citizens have the Citizens Initiative right in Arizona too. And there are right now, currently five, and I know of, my understanding is there was a sixth one filed today, to go out and gather signatures. And if they can get the appropriate signatures, things will appear on the ballot. And some of those are interesting ones, to repeal our right to work state as a status. You know, Arizona's been strong right to work state since it's a
Is that being pushed by union organizers? Or
I would bet so. Uh-huh. It's Arizona Works Together Act is what they're calling it. But the danger in all these things is you have to be careful what the name is. That may not be the thing. There's also a signature out there gathering right now to ensure Arizona Abortion Access Act Amendment is out there, as well as one that deals with some of the politics and the elections thing. And believe it or not, even though it's passed again, there's another signature out there to try to raise the minimum wage another dollar.
Really?
So those stay around. And the one that I heard is on the that may have filed today is one that will take a look at some put nonpartisan primaries on our ballots. So I think there's going to be a lot of things in that front that you're going to see. It's going to be a full ballot.
Signatures,
bottom line, Bill, it's going to be a full ballot.
Signatures are very difficult to obtain these days.
Well, and here's the scary part about it. Well, they're expensive today.
Yeah.
When I first started with SLC, it ran about $4 to $5 per signature to get a signature. But I know this last one, it was all the way up to $12 and $14.
Because you've got to pay people to go out and try to gather signatures.
That's the easiest way to gather a lot of signatures. Or you have to have one heck of a ground game. I mean, you just have to have people that are out there. But for any of those initiatives that are changing the Constitution of Arizona, 383,000 signatures.
Valid almost signatures.
Exactly. Which means they have to turn in about somewhere between 500 and 600.
Huge.
And you think about those numbers. And if you then put a dollar price on it, if it's just $10 a signature, that's $6 million you need to have to just get the signatures. So we'll see how it's going to go. I do think it's going to be a full ballot. You know, what we forget in here in Tucson is, we have odd year elections as well.
Yeah.
So there's several ballots. There's a lot of school boards are going to the voters for the
Tucson
bonds.
Tucson
Unified being one of them. They're focusing on capital improvements to each of their campuses, making them safer and providing more security. And there's nothing probably more important than to teachers and students and parents is to know that you've got a campus that is secure and safe and providing a classroom environment that is made for learning. So you've got on there. And then there's another big one in my mind in this region, and that's the incorporation of Vail.
Ah, that's so, right.
So we've talked a lot in the past about how Pima County only has about 63% of our Pima County residents are living in incorporated areas. Take that compared to Maricopa, where 97% of their residents live in incorporated areas. And it directly translates to the money that we get as part of the state shared revenue programs. So if we could find some areas like Vail, Tanque Verde, sometime Catalina Foothills, Casa Adobes, and if we could turn those into either incorporated towns themselves or annex them into Oro Valley, into Marana, into the city of Tucson, the funds, state funds, what we put into our taxes through sales tax and other taxing forms, that would come back to our region would be significant. Now, there's always
an old argument. That's one of the reasons we're so underfunded in Pima County.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true. We estimate it to be between 50 and 60 million that would come to the region that does not currently, if we could become incorporated to the same level as Maricopa. Hard time getting there. We're a little bit more of a rural community. And some folks believe that when you incorporate as a town, you lose your uniqueness. You know, your ability to take it. But I'll tell you, if you really want to ensure that you have your uniqueness and your town and your area and your region of the county grows how you want it to grow or not, you need to have that incorporation protection. Otherwise, there will continue to be other towns and municipalities moving in your direction, potentially, you know, setting both commercial activities up that you don't like or incorporating the rooftops.
And Vail has been, this is a third, I believe. time that they've tried?
I know of one before, okay. At least as long as I've been there was one other time, and they lost pretty handily, 54% the last time. This time I think it's a much better organized effort. They understand the advantages and what you can gain. And the key, you look at areas like Queen Creek, which has just absolutely succeeded, but it relied on intergovernmental agreements with the county. And I think Pima County, while they're not going to probably take an official position on this, they seem much more comfortable with the idea of Vail incorporating, because you're going to rely on the sheriff's department for a long time. A town doesn't become a town and immediately have a police force.
All right, General Ted Maxwell, always a pleasure. We'll see you soon down the road, okay?
All right, Bill, it's always great to be here.
Thank you very much. All right, on behalf of General Maxwell and John, engineering and producing our program, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well. Back with you in about 23 hours at 12:04 tomorrow.